And welcome back to the show at 6:18. See, that, Gary, that's why I like you driving my bus. You bring out the good tunes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See, this is how I imagine our bus, right? It's a little short bus, but it's all like in psychedelic colors, like from the 60s, and it's got those really tall like Marshall amps in the back, and it's just cranking out the Van Halen, the AC/DC, you know, and all the windows are down to, you know, to let the smoke out, if you know what I mean.
But we're driving carefully on the roads.
But yeah, we're very careful. We're driving, you know, in the right-hand lane, obeying all the laws. Of course. I don't know what you're thinking.
I don't know how that popped out there.
All right, let's go to the phones. Frank, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Lance, how you doing?
Fine, sir. What's up?
Love your show, but I got to call you out on something, man.
Yes, sir.
A couple years ago, all we heard was apocalyptic, a crash is coming, a life-changing crash is coming, economic doom.
Yeah.
You know, $19 trillion in debt can't be sustained. It stopped. I stopped seeing and hearing all that, I guess, about 6 or 9 months ago.
Uh-huh.
But my question is this. Here we are 1.5 trillion later, and nobody's talking about that anymore. I don't hear any, you know, life-changing crash coming. I don't hear any of that anymore.
Okay.
What changed?
Nothing. A life-changing crash is coming. It will be on the magnitude of the financial crisis or greater. The only differential is, and there is no really differential, it's always just a function of timing. It's coming. You just don't know when, and you don't know what the catalyst is going to be. But, you know, and especially now more than ever, what's happened, particularly in the last, really call it the last 18 months, is that you've now had everybody decide, well, you know, if I can't beat them, I'm just going to join them. I'm going to buy these ETFs. And we're just, so we see these massive inflows into ETFs. People are dumping their bonds to buy ETFs. They're getting out of actively managed.
What's an ETF?
Oh, sorry.
Right off the short bus, no.
I am sorry. I should, my bad. An ETF is an exchange traded fund. It's basically a mutual fund. So think about it this way. I want to buy the S&P 500 index, right? So I could buy a Vanguard S&P 500 mutual fund, or I can buy this thing called an ETF, which is a replication of the mutual fund, but I can buy it or sell it like a stock all day long, right? So,
okay.
You know, with a mutual fund, when I sell a mutual fund, I get end-of-day pricing. But with an ETF, I can buy the whole index. I can buy it 1 second and sell it another, and that's fine because it all trades like a stock.
I see. Okay.
Okay, so we have everybody piling into these ETFs, these exchange-traded funds, treating them like stocks, and there's an underlying problem I won't get to on the air because it's very complicated, but basically it distorts the pricing of the underlying shares of the stock. So in other words, the S&P 500 is 500 companies. And when I pile into this ETF, that ETF has to buy all those 500 companies. Okay.
Does it distort them significantly?
Yes.
It's only a 24-hour period.
Yes.
Right?
It distorts. There's what's called liquidity. And there's a liquidity issue that's building up inside of these ETFs. And what will ultimately happen is that at some point, somewhere along the way, something will happen. Just call it the next link. You know, the financial crisis wasn't a function of the mortgages, which is a misnomer. Everybody goes, it was all the bad mortgages. That's what caused the financial crisis. No, the bad mortgages were the fuel for the financial crisis. What started the financial crisis was when Lehman was forced into bankruptcy and all of the counterparties froze the credit market. That's when all the bonds went bad. So all these ETFs, if somebody holds their hand up and says, I'm out, and some event happens and everybody comes flying out of these ETFs all at once, you will have a massive market reversion very quickly because not only are these things all piled into by investors, they're also leveraged in a lot of cases. And you have
By others.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have a whole variety of other issues. But the point is simply back to your original question, Frank, nothing has changed. It's only gotten worse. But the only thing is what we don't know is what's going to be the catalyst? Is it going to be the Federal Reserve, you know, reducing their balance sheet, or is it going to be some geopolitical event? Is it going to be North Korea shooting off a missile? Is it going to be a Donald, you know, a House Democrat just filed impeachment articles for Donald Trump today? So, does that spook the market? I would say to all of those issues, no, because everybody right now believes that central banks will ultimately fix everything. And I think therein lies the risk that ultimately we have a policy mistake by the Federal Reserve or the ECB, which is usually the case, and that triggers this event. But again, that could be 6 months from now, it could be a year from now, it could be 2 years from now. It's coming, though.
When we say life-changing, describe that a little bit.
Well, let's see. How old are you now, Frank?
I'm 52.
52. How many, you ready? You kind of on track to retire maybe by 65?
Probably a little bit older.
Okay, so say 70. So if you lost 50% of your money between now and, say, two
Ouch.
Years from now, would that alter your life?
It would certainly alter my plans.
That's a life-changing event then.
There you go.
Okay. And that's the biggest thing that we know. That's the thing we talk about here on the show. It's what we write about in the newsletter is, you know, we're fully allocated to the markets right now because the markets are trending higher. But we're watching this very carefully, you know, carrying hedges in portfolios. We've got a very strict sell discipline. And when this thing stops going up, and it will eventually, don't know when, we just have to know when to, you know, there's a time to play poker and there's a time to bet on hands and there's a time to take your chips and go home.
Right.
And what separates, you know, long-term successful gamblers from the average Joe that goes to Vegas and lose all their money is a good gambler knows when to leave the table.
Yeah. Okay. Very good.
Frank,
thank you, Lance.
My pleasure. Thank you for the call.